merciful Father, the maker and the creator of the ends of the earth, who never faints, who's never tired, who clothes himself in light. Father, you are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise and majesty. You are the King eternal. You are immortal. You only have immortality, dwelling in the light that no man can approach thereunto. You stretch the heavens with your hand. You lay the beams of the earth by yourself. You call darkness to be. You call light to be. And you bring about everything that upholds this world by your power and your strength. And all honor and glory is due your name. We are the recipients of your benefits. We are dependent beings. And Father, because of that, I ask you by your mercy and your power that you help us to recognize our place on this earth and to realize that without you, we can do nothing. This world has got too much dirt going on, too much wickedness, too many people being killed, slaughtered, elderly people being taken advantage of, people trying to run them out of their home. We have people in the position of authority that are abusing their authority, and we by ourselves, we can't change it. We can't stem the tide, but you, Lord, you are able to always conquer the giants. You are able always to give your people what they need. And we come before you with our hands open, with our hearts open, asking you to fill us with the power to do your will, that we would live a life in such a way that we can warn every man and encourage every man to make every man perfect, mature in your Son, your holy child, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua, our Messiah, and the Lord. Look upon our needs. Look upon our needs. Our number one need is to honor and glorify you and to see you as you are. Our number one need is to trust you. Our number one need is to be the ambassadors that we're supposed to be. Then, Lord, I'll ask you, look upon our health. Look upon the situations that we have with finances. Look upon the mistreatment that comes our way being in the human condition. But help us to remember, Lord, that you empower, you embolden, you strengthen, and help us not to be afraid of anything in this world except to turn away from your ever-loving, all-powerful hands, that we would be included in those whom mercy that you have that lasts forever. Amen, amen, and even so, amen. Today we're in the 104th Psalm. We're on part two. We talked last time on Thursday. We talked about the honor that is due Yahweh. Can anyone tell from your life that you honor him? Can anyone tell by looking in the way you conduct yourself that you really honor God? Well, today, we're going to finish this message, but our emphasis is going to be on this. Yahweh, our God, deserves all of the honor that's due him. And we should make it our highest priority to give the honor that's due him to him. Are we seeking to honor him? Who do we honor? When we talk, who do we honor? Who do we glorify? Do we glorify our last name? Do we glorify the fact that we have a job? Do we glorify the fact that we're somebody? Do we glorify the fact that I'm strong, that I have money? This song is going to teach us the way that I'm going to frame it today. I'm not doing anything but what's already there. The way that I'm going to frame it today is going to show us how to honor our God in prayer. Do you hear what I said? How to honor our God in prayer. Let me tell you something if you don't know. Jane, you back there, you have situations. You have situations, Rich. But I'm telling you, in the very neighborhoods in which we live, there are situations. And when I look on the web, sometimes we have pedophiles in our neighborhood. We have sexual offenders in our neighborhood. We have people on the job that want to get rid of you. We have people on the job that will lie to you. And we have people that call themselves children of God stealing from employees. Our employers and their employees going and eating people's food in the refrigerator, and you know it's not yours. Wickedness. We have children that have been eyed upon by people right now that want to molest your child. They are normalizing pedophilia, and the people that they're going to do their pedophilia and molest and rape and sodomize and brutalize children are not theirs. We have people teaching people that the word of God is not what it is. That is just a figment of the imagination. How is it that we are going to combat that in this world? How is it we're going to stand for God? I'm going to tell you, this used to be big. It's still bigger than some, but it's not enough to combat the onslaught of this world. Not big enough to combat the media. Television, movies, porn in the songs, porn in advertisement. We don't have enough strength to combat it. Children right now being raped and molested, sometimes by their own fathers. Boyfriends in the house, women lonely, crying out for somebody. Crying out and the wrong person will answer. Let me tell you, if you put a piece of meat in a net and you drag it across the ocean, you're likely to get anything in that net. How do those women that are lonely, looking for somebody, men that are looking for somebody, how do we combat the evil and death that's around the corner if we're going to depend on our own strength? We don't have the power. We must have the power of the Almighty God. I want you to look at this passage today, and I want you to see the providential care of the Most High for the animals, for the birds, for the land, for everything that walks upon the planet. And if you can see what he can do in the natural for those, how dare we think that we're going to combat the problems of this world only complaining, only running our mouth, only telling the truth, and not seeking the God in whom his son called out to. I remember one time I made the statement, and I make it again, and I don't apologize for it. I don't see anybody in this room right here that's qualified to do or to go, and I'm talking about looking at myself through my own mind, to go and do half, one third of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And I'm not even talking about redeeming us from the power of death and hell. I'm just talking about the work that he did without being in prayer. Why is it that he, the Son of God, was in prayer calling out to the Father more than us? Maybe we don't see we got a lot to do. Maybe our families don't matter enough to us. Maybe our lost brothers and sisters and cousins and nephews and nieces, maybe they don't matter. Maybe we don't care that they'll die and they'll be eternally damned forever. Yet God's son came and died, yet rose and ascended on high to seek and save that which is lost. Do we see the power that he has? Are we playing? One of the saddest things that I've seen heretofore is the mockery of what is supposed to be the teaching of God's word. Making merchandise out of people. Listen, saints, don't let people make merchandise out of you in the name of God. Learn his word. Don't go buy some little holy water. It's not going to save you. It didn't save the people in Palestine when Jesus lived there. Those that didn't obey him, they had that same water. They had the same dirt. They walked in Galilee. They walked in Samaria. They walked across the Jordan. Many of them were baptized in the water by John. And John said in Matthew chapter 3, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Don't let somebody make merchandise out of you, selling you some kind of little book, a little policy book, a little reasoning from the scriptures, or a little discipline, as they call it, or a little Book of the Mormon, and let it override God's word. Now listen to this song and see where our power and strength could come from. Not could, should. Bless his everlasting name. Where does he sit, you all? That's right, between the cherubim. That means, to give you a picture of it, Josiah. In the ancient world, sometimes the king would like to have a lion sitting on the right side or the left, and if they didn't have one, they'd have an emblem of a lion to show how great he is, okay? Well, when the Most High, glory to his name, what he has around him are the cherubim. That's on the emblem around the Ark of the Covenant. But when Isaiah looked inside his holy temple, he saw seraphim flying, screaming out how holy he is. That means he's not to be toyed with. That means he's not to be taken as a triviality. He is holy. He is holy. He is holy. Are we holy, you all? Holy. Holy is something that God gives and imparts to you, that you nurture, that you embrace, that you'll be none other for no other God, no other philosophy, but to bring glory and honor to his name. I feel like I'm ready to preach. Psalm 104, verse 1, listen to the word of God. Bless Yahweh, O my soul. O Yahweh, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke, they fled. At the voice of thy thunder, they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valley, which run along the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chamber. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of Yahweh are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for season. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun arises, and they gather themselves together and lay them down in their den. Man goeth forth unto his work, and to his labor until the evening. O Yahweh, how manifold are thy works. In thy wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, and they die, and return to their dust, and sendeth forth thy spirit, they are created. And thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of Yahweh shall endure forever. Yahweh shall rejoice in his work. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He touches the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto Yahweh as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in Yahweh. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou, Yahweh, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what that word means, that whole phrase, praise ye the Lord. The Hebrew under that is hallelujah. So it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye Yah. So when you hear me calling them Yah, that's that Yah in hallelujah. But when you listen to this passage, did you hear the providence? Did you hear the care? Did you hear the majesty of our God? Now listen to me and listen carefully. If Yahweh is this magnificent and this powerful and this mighty, how dare we not honor him with prayer? How dare we not ask him to help us? I've seen little children that have more sense than we adults sometimes. I've seen little children have been picked on by an older brother or sister. Talking about me. And who would they go to? Somebody bigger. The little children might have this song in their mind, somebody bigger than you and I. They would go to mama or they would go to daddy. And my sister used to say, she couldn't say aggravate. She used to say, mama, tell aggravating me. And that would solve the issue. Because she went to somebody big, she didn't have enough power. Listen to me. We should be able to go to our father, the one that feeds the birds, the one that takes care of everything, and know that if he has an agenda for us to fulfill, he's there. Now let's go back over what we've covered on Thursday, and then we're going to move into what we're going into today. First of all, bless the Lord. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. First of all, speak well of him. Bless, Baruch. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh Lord, my God. It's personalized. You are very great. This is how you learn to pray. You learn to pray by looking at the majesty of God and who he is. That's why when you say what they call the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus taught you to say, our Father, which art in heaven, his greatness, hallowed be thy name. His name ain't no joke. It's holy. So he says, oh Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Can anybody see that from your life, or is it just the words that flow from your lips like water cascading down the Niagara? Who covers thyself with light as a garment, who stretches out the heavens as with a curtain, covers himself in light. Nothing is hid from him. He sees. Light makes things manifest. He covers himself with light. He has the power that he stretched the heaven. We talked about when he put the firmament into heaven in Genesis chapter 1, verse 7. We're not doing that today. And it says, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the water? Who makes the clouds his chariots? Think about that. When you look up there and this is the clouds of his chariots, is that not big? Is he big? He's big. Is he great? Who do you pray to? You have a problem praying to him? You must not see him as he is. If you're not praying to him, you got a lot of things you're complaining about. I guarantee you that. You got a lot of issues that need to be dealt with. He said he stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He lay up the beams of his chambers in the water, who makes his clouds his chariot, and walk upon the wings of the wind, and make his angels spirits, and his ministers a flaming fire. I told you all on Thursday we were going to look at that. I want you to look at what that means, the picture of that. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. I want you to understand what he means when he say he walks on the wings of the wind. First of all, in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, you all, am I going slow enough for you to get it? All right. It says, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month and the fifth day, I was among the captives by the river Chebar. Or Chebar, however you want to pronounce it, that the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. This is what Ezekiel said. And in the fifth day, which was in the fifth month of Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. When it says the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, this is not a figment of his imagination. This is not just what you would call a vision. This is God himself. God the Spirit, this is God, the pre-incarnate God, the one that came and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And listen, and I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud with fire enfolding itself and brightness was about it. And out of the midst of the color of amber and in the midst of the fire, listen, and out of the midst thereof came four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of man. Everyone had four faces and everyone had four wings and their feet were straight. And this is what he saw. He saw that. He saw this vision. But I want you to see about the wings of the wind. I've given you a picture of what he saw. We're going to skip down to verse 13. I've read about who came, who appeared. What else did he see? He saw the living creatures. We call them cherubim. Verse 13 says, as for the likeness of the living being or creatures, their appearance was like coals of fire. Go back to our text. Who makes his angels spirit and his ministers or his servants flames of fire. Are you beginning to see that the psalmist knows something that maybe we don't know, but we could know if we have spent time in his blessed word. And then he says, and the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance as flash of lightning. Are you feeling the taste of it? Go down to verse 20. Whithersoever the spirit were to go, talking about the living creature, they went. Thither their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature were in the wheel. Verse 28. Tim, why are you skipping? Because if I spend all of the time here, then we won't finish where we are. But I give you enough taste of it to want to go and eat some of this meal. This will give you the appetizer. Verse 28. As the appearance of a bow, this is what he saw in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance and brightness round about. There was appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh when I saw it, and I fell upon my face. What was the appearance? We are talking about over the head, over the wings of these beings, there was a firmament, and his throne was above it. And he saw that. I want you to understand that the God we serve is a being. When he's talking about him walking on the wings of the wind, And it's saying like chariots, or the clouds are like his chariots, is letting you know his majesty, his power, his awesomeness. Verse chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and he said, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak unto thee. While you're not going to read anymore, Tim, I just want you to know that this same God that has beings like that to escort him, that's who we pray to. This is the one that we're looking at. And is there any problem that someone that majestic can't solve for you? Is there anyone? Now, you all know, if you've forgotten, go to the podcast. We went through this whole book of Ezekiel. You should be able to go in and pull out all of the juice in this that God allowed me to be able to give, and at least have you a good starting point to understand what it means. But we also talked the book of the Revelation. So I want to tie this up with Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, so that you'll understand the wind, the wings of the wind, and him being on the wind. Can we do that? Yes, we can. Revelation 7, verse 1. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. The imagery of the Bible is that the winds proceed and are controlled by God's angelic or celestial beings that he has delegated to them to be able to control winds. If you think, I know not whereof I speak, what was it in the book of Job that we talked about the other day? When the sons of God came to present themselves to God, and God said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. He's upright, one that is perfect. He fears me, and he shuns, he escheweth evil. And then when Satan wanted to go and hurt Job, he was able to bring a whirlwind and kill Job's children. And yet Job knew how, knowing how big God was, he held his integrity. And when we get to the book of Job, we're going to find out how big Job thought God was. And then we're going to find out it wasn't big enough. As a matter of fact, when Job got to see how big God was, he said, I do this.
A foot and a hand over my mouth.
I put my hands over my mouth. I don't know him exhaustively. Neither does Tim Merritt know him exhaustively. So when he says he walketh upon the wings of the wind, the wings of the cherubs, they make noise, and they come in as the wind. He rides the cherub, okay? He rides the cherub. The clouds are his chariots. Thank you. And he makes his ministers flaming fire, and he makes his angels or his messenger spirits. He uses spirits. This is the God that we serve that is able to give us what we need in this world. He laid the foundations of the earth. You can write this down. I'm not going to read it. In Job chapter 38, verse 4 through 7, the Bible says those celestial beings, it called them morning stars, they rejoiced. When God laid the foundations of the earth, they rejoiced. His ministers are not only aware of many things that he do or does, but they assist him, and they are also to assist us. And you all know for a fact that Psalm 24 and 1 says the earth is who? And the fullness thereof. And the world and they that dwell therein, and say he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. This is what this passage is saying. Who laid the foundation of the earth? You cover the deep with the garment. We talked about that. The very deep where the big creatures live. The abyss is covered with a garment of water. The water stood above the mountains. Remember God said, let the dry land appear. This is actually showing you creation. Showing you his majesty, his power. So at his rebuke, they fled. The voice of that thunder, they hasted away. You all want something for free? People like stuff free. If you write down Psalm 29, you want to learn about the voice of Yah, what it can do, the voice of God, I can make trees skip, how it can make pregnant deer drop their baby. I just want you to know the voice of the Lord is a powerful thing. It's not like, Tim, Tim. No, you got the wrong one. So it says, at the voice of that thunder, they hasteth away. They go up by the mountain, they go down by the valley unto the place where you have founded them. He has set a habitation in order for the waters. You have set a bound for them that they cannot pass over. Do you understand why the ocean don't come and flood everybody right now? It's because he set a boundary for them. When you see a tsunami, that's out of the regular. And it shows you that the water could, at his will, just wreak havoc. But he said he will not destroy the earth like that anymore. It says he sends his springs into the valley which run among the hills. Remember, when you're reading King James and you see hills in the Psalms, most of the time it's mountains, a Hebrew word that will be har, H-A-R, har, mountains. That's like when you hear people say Har-Mageddon or Armageddon, that means the mountain of Megiddo. Okay, so it says they give drink to every beast of the field, the wild asses quench their thirst. This is his providence, you all, for those things. Do you think you're not worthy of more than one beast of the field, one ass in the field? The Messiah said we're greater than one, many sparrows, many. Will we not give honor to someone that cares that much? What if it was our job and the only way that we could live from day to day is that we go out there and we feed the birds, we feed the wild asses, we feed the things that are out there in the jungle and in the woods, and that would be our job. We'd have nothing else, time for nothing else. He does that. Can he not supply our needs? Glory to his mighty name forevermore. He says, by them the fowls of the air have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the mountains or the hills from his chamber. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Do you understand that? The earth is satisfied. The earth is satiated by what our God does. Why can't we be satiated with what he's done? He gives us life. He gives us breath. He lets us think. He wakes us up. He clothes us. He's given his son to redeem us. Why can't we be like the earth and be satisfied in his goodness? Why are we so ungrateful? Lord, have mercy. And then it says, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, food for you to eat, medicine for you to have, and food for the animals, and wine that maketh the glad the heart of men, even that you can have something that you can rejoice in, something that you can drink and relax and enjoy each other and laugh and not be drunk and not be stupid. In oil to make your face shine. You don't have to walk around ashy, lips about to bust open because you didn't put any oil on your face, looking like somebody scratched you with sandpaper. Oil for your face to shine, bread with strength in the heart so you don't waste away like you have anorexia. It says the trees of Yahweh are full. Now it has of sap in here in the talents, but the trees are full. He gives them the water, gives them what they need. The cedars of Lebanon, listen, which he planted. They didn't just happen. They did not evolve. I told you all in the first message, I gave you all the presuppositions, and I've told you that when I teach the Bible and the Bible speaks presuppositionally, that everything came from God. And how we know what we know about this world is because it's in God's revealed word. It's not in what a man can think. It's not what they can look and see what is and can attribute to it anything they want to and attribute facts the way they want to. All facts are God's facts because God created them for a purpose. That's how I know what I know. He reveals it. And the way I know what is real, he says what is real. He says that which I can touch is real, and that which I can think is real, that which I can see is real, and that which I can't see is real, because the heavens declare the glory of God. And the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 1, the invisible things of him are made known by the visible things, even his eternal power and Godhead. So man is without excuse when he won't honor God. Metaphysically speaking, what reality is what God says it is. Ethics, we talk about how we know what we're supposed to do because this great God who can stretch the heaven, who can lay the beams of the earth, who can ride the cherub, he tells me how to love. He tells me how to rebuke those that I love and not be evil. He teaches me how to forgive. He teaches me how to honor him. He teaches me when I'm weak, I can be strong, and I can do all of the things that I can't do to glorify him through his son, Christ, who strengthens me, bless his everlasting name. And when you ask me about it, it comports. It works together. What do you mean, Tim? Why do you not steal? Because God set the presuppositions of this world, and he is creator. He sets the order, and it's real to steal. You don't see stealing, but it's an effect. It's real. He said, don't do it. And because he said, don't do it, I don't do it. How do you live when you don't do that? You have peace with your brother. You have peace with your friends. You can have peace with your enemy, and you have peace with God when he tells me not to cheat on my wife or to cheat with somebody else's wife. When it's his presupposition of making the world, and he says the ethic, it comports. My brother don't have to kill me. Somebody else don't have to shoot me because I'm not taking something that belongs to him, and I'm honoring God. When I honor my mother, it's because he says so. When I keep his Sabbath holy, it's because he said it. When I honor him instead of evolution and what they teach in school, they don't make the world. He is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. Bless his everlasting name. Do you hear what I just said? I didn't make it up. It's the word of God. Butt naked truth. I love it. He's mighty sweet. You all remember that song? And the Bible says, verse 16, the trees of Yahweh are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon he's planted, where the birds make their nest, as for the stork, the fir trees of their house. The high hills or the mountains are the refuge for the wild goats. The rocks for the conies or the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. I didn't write this down, but I believe it's Genesis 1 and 13, where he set the moon, the suns for times and seasons. Was I right, Andrina? Check it out and see if I'm right, somebody, because I want to make sure. I know it's in Genesis 1, but he set those things that man can't set for his appointed days, his God-ordained days, his God-sponsored days. Did you hear what I said? I wish I had made a note, but one day I'm going to teach. I'm going to show you in this world, they took about 12 days out of the calendar, 1 month. In the 1700s, and it went from one day, and then it was 20-something days later when they did the Gregorian calendar. I'm going to show you one day that they changed the calendar. So when we say New Year, I guarantee you it's not the New Year that it was before they changed it. Neither is it the New Year that it was before the Julian calendar, and it's not the New Year that God had. So when we celebrate what is called New Year, I say this is the civil new year that people go by, okay? Because financially, I live in this world. But Yahweh did not allow for man to determine when the new year would be. He determined. Do you think man get to determine the seasons? Now, they can seed plant the clouds. They can do what is called heart surface, you radio frequencies in the sky, and they can change the weather. And for those that think I'm just lying, go read about it. That's why they have governments that determine that we're not going to use weather warfare against one another, but you still doing something. You haven't controlled it. You just made some changes in it. We can pervert almost anything in this world. Why don't we pervert wickedness and let's say we're not going to be wicked no more and repent from that and do what's righteous? And if you think perverting wickedness is a weird thing to say, the Bible says when you don't run to riot like the people that you were once with, they think you're strange. They think you perverted, that you've changed. But you, if you see the magnificence of this God, why wouldn't you? Verse number 19 again, he appointed the moon for seasons. He lets you know the days and the times and the very events that's going to be in the life of a child of God by the days that he set. No, you won't be saved by that. But I'm telling you, you get to understand what's important to him by the very days. I'll give you one for free. The Passover meant something. When the training wheels were on, it was a repetition. It was a memorial when they came out of Egypt. But when the Lord took that and said, this is my body, the bread, and this cup, he is now showing you all that you are being brought from the kingdom of darkness, from the bondage of death and sin, and being brought to life in the kingdom of light. And guess when he did it? It was on that same day. That was the same day commemorated. Next verse, Tim. It says, thou makest darkness. Well, let me skip. The sun knoweth it's going down. That's a beautiful thing that the sun knoweth it's going down. But there's something about that sun knowing going down in Psalm 19. I'm not going to read it to you, but it talks about how the heavens speak and how the night talks and the day talks. And it says, the voice of the heavens are heard throughout the whole earth. And it said, it's just like the sun going on his circuit around the earth and nothing is hid from his heat. This God that we're talking about in Psalm 104, he has made himself known throughout the whole world. Even the little rock badgers know it. If the earth would get up and talk, they say, he fed me. He made me strong. Come and eat a little bit. I know you sick. I know you sleepy. Come and eat some of me. My name is catnip. My name is yellow root. Okay? You're infertile? My name is Mandrake. Come and eat a little bit. Oh, glory to his everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. Verse number 20. Thou makest darkness and it is night, wherein all of the beasts of the forest do creep. Notice this. He makes night and allows some beings to be nocturnal and gives them a place where they can sleep. That's why our Lord can say, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but his own son, you think he's doing us wrong? Had not where to lay his head. I don't care what John Avanzini said, he's a liar. Talking about he had a house somewhere. Yes, I said he's a liar. I read the Bible. He need to repent. Repent. When people lie on God, try to teach you prosperity and riches outside of repent. Repent or God judge him. And then it says, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. They go out looking for it, expecting it from God. They don't expect there's going to be a shortage of meat today. They seek it from God. The sun arises, they gather themselves together, they lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and labor until evening. You know, there was a time it wasn't all this nocturnal work. Like I do, like a lot of people do. But I can tell you this much, I've heard that there's such a thing as biorhythms and that we upset our biorhythms in our bodies by being up all time of night, late at night. And that I was told and that I was seeing they have things where the night is different in Alaska, where they have 6 months of darkness and 6 months of daytime, that they have to artificially make it dark so that the people's bodies will act right. God knows what he's doing, okay? I don't think it's best for me to all the time work at night. This week I didn't work much at night, and I have enjoyed this week. Oh, my God. But I have bills to pay, so if I have to go, I have to go. Because I didn't prepare myself to be a daytime worker. But anyway, it says, O Yahweh, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In thy wisdom thou have made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Isn't this enough reason here to honor him? Isn't this enough to see all of the provision, all of the care, made time for us to rest, made time for us to work, made time for the animal to rest, made time satisfies the earth. And how can we not give him honor? How can we honor ourselves above him? How can we honor our quote unquote, as they call it, race or ethnic group above him? Please, come on, saints, hear the word of God. So is this, reread for me verse 25. My word is starting to stutter now.
So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great.
He said in the sea, this is his. All kind of innumerable things in the sea. He made it. Can he not help you over problems? Can he not help you, my brother, on a job with somebody that's cutting and acting the fool? Can he not help you, young people, when people don't want to like you if you stand for right? Yes, he can. Can he not help us in our situation? Mom, can he not help us? He rules the sea. Everything in it is his. Let me say like the old folks say, it's his. Read, Dree.
There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season.
Ships going across the water, just like a car going across concrete almost. You know, the ship do go a little bit in the water, but it goes across it like a car go across concrete. And then it says, there is that Leviathan. Now, I did look up Leviathan, but I'm going to tell you, it's a dragon. It's a big sea monster. The book of Job talks about it. It's a fire-breathing dragon. If in a discussion you want to talk about it, I'll read for you from the Theological Dictionary of the Old Testament, and I'll read you some stuff about it. I'll read you some stuff about Leviathan if you want to, but don't believe your translation to say it's an alligator. It is not a doggone alligator. When you read about the power of this Leviathan that men can't pierce through his skin and that he's scared of nothing, but it's saying that the majesty of God, he made that for him to play in. Play. You all like play? You like play? I see grown folk playing on the Facebook. We still like play of some sort, okay? Read, Dree, please.
These all wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season.
Look, these big animals out there in the deep, they wait on him. Can we not wait on Yahweh? Can we not wait on him to give us what he wants us to have to bring glory to his name and honor to his name? Please, let's look at who he is. He ain't no joke. Read some more, please.
That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, and they die. And return to their dust.
God feeds them. They're not just eating because it's just nature. Everything is because he's doing it. He feeds them. And when he takes their breath away, they die. And they turn to dust. They belong to him. He can do with what he wants to, that which he owns. He can snatch the breath out of our nostrils. This world is his. We are his people, and those that are saved and they've been delivered from death and sin, you are bought with a price, and whatever and however he wants to use you, that's his choice. How dare we act like he doesn't know what he's doing? That's why we don't pray, because he's not going to answer us when we want to sometimes. And we want him to jump when he said jump. And we can't control all of these things that look little. These are big things. They don't just evolute by random chance and chaos they come to being. There's order. He feeds the Leviathan. He feeds the big things. He let the ships go in the water. They wait for their food. He determines when they die. Then they go back to dust and help fertilize the earth. How magnificent and wonderful is the God of heaven. Why would we not humble ourselves under that much greatness? When the state gets great, we'll honor the state because they have a gun, because they can take your taxes, they can raise your taxes. The state can sponsor a holiday, whether it's Christmas or Easter or New Year, those are state-sponsored holy days. Do you understand that? If you get paid, if people are forced to pay you, they are state-sponsored holidays. And the state The state, our government, does not love this God. And if they're giving you a holiday to make you all come together and do things, but better believe it, they have an agenda. Learn how to be in the world and not of the world, and understand your place with this magnificent God. Read some more, Tree, please.
Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of Yahweh shall endure forever.
He sends his spirit, and his spirit makes animal live. And the Bible say he renews the face of the earth. You all see the trees out there looking like many of them are dead. See the ground, the grass brown, and then it comes back, and then you see the trees full of sap, fruit growing, grass green. Do you know that people worship nature for that? Gaia. Do you know that people worship like the maypole? Do you understand that Easter? I mean, the real Easter worship stuff like that. Do you understand that there were fall festivals where they worshiped that, and they did not believe that if they didn't do the worship, you would not get renewed of the earth? But here the word of God is saying he does that. You don't have to do all kinds of sexual gyrations to, because that's what a lot of the nature worship is. It's about sex. It's about getting, having sex with somebody, imitating, bringing forth life. But God said he does that. How would we give honor to something else? When you see him as he is, one of the saddest things in this world is to tell somebody about God and to help them to learn something about God. And they say they want to learn and be about him. And then you send them out to go witness to people. They don't even know who God is. How are you going to witness to something you don't even know anything about? You don't believe him. You don't know him. He's not your presupposition for life. If you're going to know and talk about God, learn who he is. Learn of him. So that you won't speak about him incorrectly and be making an idol. Read that verse again, 31. It's very pretty. The glory of Yahweh.
The glory of Yahweh shall endure forever.
What does the prayer say? Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever. His glory will endure forever. It will either endure with you glorifying him and being able to reflect that glory and benefit, or his glory will endure forever because he's going to execute the wicked. He's going to cut down the ungodly, the hard-hearted, and move them off the face of the earth, and there'll be no more defiling. There'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more bills. And we will be with no more politicians either. And we will be with the God of heaven forever and ever. Amen. In his glory. But if you can't glorify him now, if you're not faithful in this little life you have, you wouldn't be faithful in much. Read some more, Dree. It's pretty.
Yahweh shall rejoice in his
works. I want to take a few minutes to talk about him rejoicing in his works. You see, based upon everything that we looked at thus far in these scriptures, we've seen him feed. We've seen him clothe. We see him do this to the animals. We see him do it to the fowl. We see him do it to the ground. But I will submit to you that everything he does in the natural, it has a spiritual equivalent. So I want to look at the spiritual equivalent. Can we do that? If you will, go to Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm going to have her to read Hebrews chapter 1. All the way down, chapter 1 to the 3rd verse. Please read it.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world.
The only comment I'm going to make on that, this is where I get my way of living. It's whatever he said through the prophets and through his Son. Anything that contradicts that is taking away the honor and the glory that I should be given to the one that created and sustained all things in this world. That's what I mean. That's what I said. You know, when we were little, we thought we were halfway bad, and we have a little ditty. We say, I said it, I meant it, and I'm here to represent it. You all remember that? I really mean that, though. Read the next verse, please.
Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power.
That's what I want to look at right there. The one who gave the Father's word, the one who exemplifies the Father in the flesh, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, where are we coming from? Why are we looking at that scripture? It says the glory of Yahweh will endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He has purged all things by his son. He upholds all things by his son. He showed he upholds all things in the wilderness. He shows he upholds all things for the animals. He showed he upholds all things for the grass of the earth. And now when it comes to our salvation, it shows that he upholds all things by his son. Yes, he rejoices in his work. Blessed everlasting name. If I were to have her to read down, you would hear him say, he says to the son, thy throne, oh God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. But I'm not going to have her to read that. I'm going to have her to read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. The glory and him rejoicing in his works. We cannot forget the work that he has done for our salvation. The salvation means delivered from death, delivered from sin, being brought into the kingdom of life and the kingdom of righteousness. What does the verse say? 5 and 8, read it.
Though he were a son.
Though this one that upholds all things by the word of his power, though he were a son.
Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
This is part of his work that the Father rejoices in. Read some more.
And being made perfect.
And being made complete. Go ahead.
He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey.
He rejoices in that his son is the author of eternal salvation, that everyone qualified that obey him. Do you like it? Do you love it? Do you want more of it? Then go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, if you like it and you love it and you want more of it. He not only take care of the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the birds that sing in the trees, and the trees that he planted and stretches forth to heaven. He takes care of our souls. Used to be a song years ago that said, Jesus is the lover of my soul. Jesus is the lover of my, he's the lover. You remember that? Yes, Lord Jesus. What's the next verse? Hebrews 2 and 14, please.
For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood.
And as much as we live in flesh and blood, what else?
He also himself likewise.
Jesus, Yeshua, likewise did what? The same one that appeared to Ezekiel, he came in and took flesh and blood. Why?
That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil.
That he through death, this is the mighty work that he did. He came to finish the work. He didn't come to do his own will. He came that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death and what else?
And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Do you all understand that he provides for everything else and we don't worry about the animals eating? Go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, I could quote it, but I'd rather have you read it. But he feeds and he takes care of all of that. And they don't have to worry. Do you all understand that if we make the parallel, we don't have to worry about death? Do you all understand we shouldn't have to worry about death? Death to us should be gain. It should be gain. The fear of death is gone. Instead, like children say, oh my God, it's gone. It's gone. What does 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 say about the works that the Father rejoices in?
For he has made him to be sin.
The Father has made the Son to be sin for us.
Who knew no sin.
Yes.
That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Didn't he say, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled? Didn't he say, whoever come to me and out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water? He has made him to be our sin offering. He has made him to, we don't have to do that. He provides for the beasts, he provides for the birds, he provides for the earth, he provides for the grass, he provides for us that we don't have to worry about. Can I be good enough? Can I be good enough to be my own sin offering? No. He made him to do it. And should we focus ourselves on him, focus ourselves on honoring him? Listen to me. I'm not going to teach you to be weak. But should you stumble and fall? Should you stumble and fall, but your heart repents of your wickedness and turn back to him, he'll abundantly pardon. He provides. He provides. He provides. Bless his everlasting name forevermore. I want you to look at Revelation 3 and 21. That work that he did is a powerful work. That work that he did, that he rejoices in, is for us to benefit. You want to benefit? I want to benefit. What does it say?
To him that overcomes.
To him that overcome what?
Will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.
Do you see that the Father rejoiced enough to set his Son in his throne? His Son. This is why when I talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, I don't stop there. All sacrifices had to be accepted. All sacrifices had to be a sweet aroma or a fragrance to the Father. Therefore, when the Lord Jesus died, until he was received up into glory, you don't see that God has shown that I accepted it. But when he was received up into glory and sat down on the right hand of the majesty in high, that lets you know he was pleased with his work. The Father rejoices in his work. Tim, how do you say that? Because I know that there's more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And I can guarantee you, there is no repentance in this world that's beneficial to man until the Son of Man ascended up on high and took control of this world for the Father. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Blessed is everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. So that's the work. All of the provision that we've seen in the natural, through his Son, the Father sent, he provides that kind of care for us. If you can't honor him, you're not really seeing what he's done. You haven't really seen how bad this world is and what God is going to do to straighten it out. Let's go back to Psalm, where he says in verse 31, Yahweh shall rejoice in his work. Verse 32, please.
He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills. And they smoke.
He touches the hills, the mountain, and they smoke. You all know he did that when he came down to Mount Sinai, right? Read some more, Dree.
I will sing unto Yahweh as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being.
This is how long we should be dedicated to him. As long as we have our being. If it's only when you come to assemble and worship with somebody, you're not giving him the honor that's due him. You're not acting like he's very great. You're not acting like he's big and he's stretched to heaven. You're not acting like he's taking care of everything. You acting like maybe he's like one of the fat Buddhas, you know, the big fat stomach and look like he might be feminized, you know, across the chest. No, we ain't talking about that kind of Buddha. We're talking about Yahweh, the God of heaven. Read some more of the sweet word of God, Dre.
My meditation of him shall be sweet.
If we really thought about all of the things they go into keeping this world going, just the water cycle, just the carbon cycle, the way he does everything and make it work together. And then think about all of the things he did to work it together so that we could be brought back to him and live forever and be brothers to the angels. I don't understand if you all really know this. I know I've taught it. We are their brothers, and one day we are going to be able not only to see them, but to be with them. We're going to really have immortal bodies. And Jesus, Yeshua said, in the resurrection, we will be as the angels. We won't be them. We will be just like them in our eternity. That government ain't it worth it? Can't you honor him? God, what are we playing for? Why are we churching instead of being in the Bible? Why we looking for shortcuts? And I want to still sin and all this and not understand that he's holy. He's big. The word is he's great. Sing it again, Dre. I will sing to the Lord. Say it again.
I will sing unto Yahweh as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet.
I want you to understand this. My meditation will be sweet. What else?
I will be glad in Yahweh.
Now, Dre has already read Hebrews 1:3, where he upholds all things by the word of his power. This is what you want to meditate on. This is what you want to think on. You also want to think of Colossians 1:17. You want to think about him upholding all things by the word of his power. That way, when you honor him, look, he upholds Trump. He upheld Obama. He upheld Clinton, Bush, Truman, whoever comes next. And if they do something we don't like, they can't go further than God let them. Sometimes God lets people bring judgment. And sometimes the people you don't like will be the one that God has got in a position to do something for you. You better learn to let God be God. Now we ought to be able to read Colossians 1:17. Read what it says. Colossians 1:17. I got it. You get Nehemiah 9:6. I'll take Colossians 1:17. Colossians 1:17 talks about Christ and say he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of all things, and by him all things are held together. Your life, your breath, the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the stream, the abyss, that the water don't go over their bounds. He is before all things. He upholds all things by the word of his power, and by him all things consist. This is the very one that God rejoices in and being our king. He's a king with power. Nehemiah 9:6 says what?
Art Yahweh alone.
Nehemiah, knowing that the walls were torn down in Jerusalem, knowing that they got a place for that daggum ungodly man inside the temple, and knowing that the people out there trying to sell during the Sabbath and bastardize stuff, but he's praying to God because they've been brought into captivity, and he says, thou even thou what?
Art Yahweh alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worships thee.
He preserves all of that, saints. Can he preserve us? Can he preserve us? Can he save us? Can he cleanse us up and preserve us? Or do we always have to keep falling back, backsliding, fornicating, adulterating, homosexuating, slanderating, and all of the things that we do that's outside of God's will? How long? How long before we grow up? How long before we reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? How long before we become the light of the world for real? How long before we salt this earth? How long? When will he give somebody to show that he's great and that he's majesty and he covers himself in light through our life? How long? Because I keep hearing people say, I'm trying, I'm trying. 30 and 40 dadgum years trying. You're a liar. You trying. You're not fooling him. He's covered in light. Read the last part of these verse, please.
Thou art Yahweh, the God. Who did choose Abram?
Let's go back to the psalm where my meditation would be sweet. Don't have to be sorry. He did choose Abram.
My meditation of him shall be sweet.
And Abram didn't choose him first. He chose Abram first. He chooses us first. We love him because he first loved us. Yes. The Lord might have wanted me to say that. Read some more.
My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in Yahweh. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou, Yahweh, O my soul.
I'm going to let Dre read one verse, and I'm going to be kind. I'm going to tell you all what I got, but Dre read Hebrews 12:29, and I'm going to tell you what I have for the sake of time. You see, when he says, let sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more, bless Yahweh, O my soul, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. When God spoke to the people, when he touched the mountain, they burn up on fire. That's why I didn't go into that earlier. Hebrews, what I have in chapter 12, you can write down 19 through 29. It talks about it. It talks about it. It reiterates what happened in Exodus chapter 19, when the mountain burned and when Yahweh talked and when the smoke came and the fiery angels came and then he gave them his law and the people saw it and they got scared and they said, Moses, you go up there and talk to him. We scared. If we go up there, we'll die. That's 20 and 19. That's where that is. And then it's repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and 23. Through 25, they didn't want to go. But what happens is we look in the Hebrews chapter 12 through 29. It ends with this. After talking about him burning the mountain, and so much the fear and the terribleness of God is, Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. What does it end with in that 29th verse in Hebrews?
For our God is a consuming fire.
Our God is a consuming fire. Out of all of the provision that God has given for the world, for the people, his majesty and his power, he is saying, you are great. My meditation of that will be so sweet. And a God that need to be honored like you, that deserves it, my life will honor you. And for those that don't, Lord, let those sinners, let those wicked, let those unregenerate that will not change, those that will not honor you, blaspheme your name, work against you, cause us to suffer and be afflicted like when we covered in Psalm 102, let them be cast out, consume them. Let them be no more. Let all of your provision and all of your care bring us to where you want us to be. This is what God has for us. Do we really show that we honor Yahweh with our life? Can you see that because of his honor and his majesty, it should evoke prayer, praise, and thankfulness for us? And when we see that or from us, and when we see it, we know that behind all of that, part of his care and provision will be consummated completely when he gets rid of the wicked. Woo! Glory to his name. I'm going to stop right there. Father eternal, Holy One of Israel, the one that's going to make everything right, who's going to make everything peaceful and give us the last bit of sorrow that we'll ever have and give us continual joy in you. Because we've learned and we will share in your glory. Have mercy on us according to your loving kindness. Strengthen us where we're weak. Build us up where we're torn down. And help us to see your glory and majesty so that we can call. We know that we can call on you in every situation to advance your kingdom. Amen. Amen and amen.